You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Cooligans Podcast.
Welcome to the show.
That's right. My name is Joey. What would you do if we did the whole episode and didn't reference it?
We got to do a full episode in, early 1990s. Casey Kasem, yeah. You know.
All right. We've got a letter. This is Stacy in Wisconsin. Says, Dave, I miss you.
Welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Nah, bro. This ain't Casey Kasem.
Nah.
Nice little
old... It's Blasey Blasem.
Bro, we'll hit you with them old-ass references, yeah. Bro.
I don't even know what that is, bro.
I genuinely do not know who Casey Kasem
is. Casey Kasem was a...
Like, he's that voice
that
we were
voice,
doing.
Okay, that okay. Old radio personality. He might have invented that voice. I don't even know, but...
He literally was on the radio from, like, when it was invented until, like, 2003. I'm not making that up. He was, like, 90 years old, and he's like, hey, live from Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that is that's that dude. But he is he's not what today's show is about because we are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We're excited about today's
speak for yourself, bro.
All right. Just me and
you don't know if I'm excited for nothing.
Alexis ain't excited. Nah. Miguelito ain't excited.
No, I'm pretty excited.
We got cold hearts out here. Bro.
Because it is blazingly hot.
Oh my God.
In New York City today. I'm sure in other parts of the country as well, but we're not really used to this, above 90 degree weather every single day.
What's the opposite of brick? Is it just dumb hot?
Yeah, we don't have an opposite of brick.
Nah, we need scorching something.
I mean, yeah, there's not anything
it's
that
stucco. We need, yeah. we need something, bro.
It's
for those of you who don't know, brick means extremely cold in New York terminology,
New York slang. But no, when it's just hot, it's zapping the energy out of us.
Actually, I was walking outside. It's giving energy to certain folks.
The mentally deranged. They find strength in
if
this energy.
If you enjoy smoking rocks, all of a sudden you are ready to go.
Isn't that something like in Dragon Ball Z? Do you watch Dragon Ball Z?
They do crack on boring. Dragon Ball
no,
Z.
No, they do.
It's cracking Ball Z.
It's like Goku needs to get like power from the sun or something like that. Like that's how I feel some people in New York are behaving.
You know, I read a theory, and it's not so much as a theory. Apparently, it's true. I can't prove it because I don't know anything. It's true, but like it's not like documented anywhere because you can't. That Spider-Man was originally about, like the fact that he can spray web. It was actually skeet. How else? I don't want to swear in the first what, 7 minutes. Jizz. Can you say jizz?
You got through fine the first time.
I tried my hardest. I love whenever I swear, Mike just has to go and write the time.
Wait, no, can I say spunk?
Yeah.
What's the word? Yeah, I don't know.
It was about a teenager, drilling for white gold.
I've never heard that.
I don't know what version of Spider-Man that was.
No, that's what the character is like, sort of like none of it is actually real. Like it started with like it was supposed to be like fantasy, and like he was
Spider-Man originally hentai. What are you
talking about? I think someone might have lied to you, Alexis.
In fact, if you look at it, some of the original ones, they were drawn in Japan, and whenever he sprays web, it's digitized, it's pixelated.
it's
a true theory.
Spider-Man is an American cartoon.
Obviously, the joke was so I could say pixelated.
Got it. No, I'm glad. But the nerd in me wouldn't allow.
Well, actually,
You don't know anything. Stop it.
Stop talking about Spider-Man. He's a great boy.
Well, this is a terrible transition into talking about our guest today. We are going to be joined by CEO of the new San Diego franchise, Tom Penn. Will be talking to us in just a little bit.
You know what? I'll ask him his theory about
Spider-Man. Things about Spider-Man.
You think it was Spunk?
Bro, come on, bro. Was it not or not?
It feels like it could have been, right?
Okay. All right. Anyway.
We don't ask him that.
They don't ask you this on Extra Time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. A lot to go over today before we talk to Tom. As a reminder, make sure if you're watching on YouTube, some people enjoy looking at our pretty faces. Mm. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. If you're watching this and sometimes you want to tune into the podcast, make sure you subscribe to the Cool Aliens Podcast on all platforms, whether you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. And leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well. We always appreciate that.
Right
too.
Now, if you can hear our voices and or see our faces, hit the button you're supposed to hit. That's it. It's very simple.
I like it.
And you too can shoe web. No, I'm just
We should begin with the...
Where should we begin?
With El Tráfico. Let's start there because obviously that happened on Tuesday.
Huge.
Independence Day at the Rose Bowl.
82,000 people.
Right. And we have a picture in front of me of a former guest of the show, Eli Lesser.
You can clearly see he dripped some mustard on his shirt.
He is very, very happy about his team winning this game. He's obviously a big LA Galaxy fan. But no, man, this was I think we have to start, but because I don't know if an apology is in order.
I don't think so.
Because literally one of our most viral clips.
People telling me that I don't watch the game.
Yeah, you don't know ball, right?
because you brought in a player to get assists, and instead of just cutting up defenders, he wasn't getting assists. But because you only watch that part of it, you think, wow, he's good. And here's what I've also said. We're talking about Ricky Puig, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Puig is the most talented player on the pitch most nights.
Without a doubt.
But is he the best player? He hasn't been this season. He's shown flashes of being a very talented player, but he hasn't done the job. If you're a striker, I don't care about your fancy footwork.
Okay.
Get them goals.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the creative midfielder, if you are supposed to be the best creative midfielder in the league, then where are them assists, bruh?
Right, but then people would argue if Ricky Puig is doing all this fancy footwork and gets the ball to someone who is supposed to score and can't,
mm-hmm.
how's that on him to not get the assist?
It's not like we haven't talked about the coach. Greg Vanney clearly hasn't built. But there's more than one reason. He's fine because he still passes the ball. If that doesn't end up going in goal, then maybe it wasn't the right pass.
Okay.
And maybe you've got to stop making some dusty-ass passes. And guess what? You kind of did, dude.
he heard what we said.
Yeah, he was involved in both goals, assisted one and scored the other.
He was mad at us, I guess. He was mad at Chiellini for calling him a payaso, mm-hmm. right? A clown. And, he's taken all the negativity and hate right. he is getting on social media and using it just for something productive.
Yeah.
And in that game against LAFC, he looked like a different man.
Well, so did Douglas Costa. Douglas Costa looked great.
Douglas Costa, where have you been, dog?
And this is my point.
My man.
Maybe these dudes only show up for big games. And that's not good.
Okay. That outside of the boot pass to Taylor Booth.
Saucy.
Man, I'm like, yo, this is better than the standard Douglas Costa red card that he gets yeah. every game.
You see what happens when you don't punch people, bro?
LA Galaxy desperately needed.
They kind of both did.
They kind of both did. LAFC, yeah.
What is it, 10 games where it's...
They've won.
They're down bad.
They've lost 7 out of 10 or something
yeah.
like
yeah.
that. Something
not
wrong.
A good look. They got LA Galaxy has 7 points in their last 5 prior to this game.
Mm-hmm.
LAFC has 7 points in their last 11.
Yeah.
Wow. So not
that's
great.
It's not a good look.
A little bit of a slump, mm-hmm. but you would still expect.
I'm going to double check if that's 11. I know that's that.
You would expect somewhere. LAFC to turn things around.
No, it is 11.
But this was,
was that right?
Yeah.
There you go. Look at that. Put that in your little comments.
Overall, just even sort of the I don't know, the meaning of this game. It was this now the most attended MLS game ever, 82,110, if I'm not mistaken.
And by the way, that's without Messi, bro.
Never even heard of that guy.
There was no Messi involved in this game, and we broke a record.
So that was great to
see. You think Messi could get 100,000 people to a game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
100%.
Yeah. I went
in the U.S.
The first game I went to...
I say Inter-Miami play a game in Barcelona. Bro, remember when they wanted to do the Clásico?
Yeah, in the United States.
In the U.S. And everyone was like, oh, you can't do that. We have dignity in our league. We got none of that in ours, baby.
Never. They didn't write dignity in the Constitution.
You can't buy a whip with dignity. Okay. We all want it, bro.
You see how awful they treated people based on that Constitution?
Yeah, ew, dog.
America ain't about that.
Nah, we ain't got none of that, bro. Shut up, broke boys. We out here trying to get this guap.
We up in the big C, which is capitalism out here, dog.
Yo, the only S I know got a dash through it, bro.
Anyway,
cut the crap, bro. I would do Messi, the first in a Miami game. Do it in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, bro.
Wow, let them know what they're missing.
Bro, a little mid-season friendly with Al Nassr?
Well, that's... You know what's funny? I read Pele's book, and he talked a lot...
He suggested the same thing?
No.
In Miami?
Pele, you know, a lot of the...
he was like a traveling circus, bro.
Santos, they were like, yo, let's get them... They played in every European country. Sometimes people are like, oh, well, Pele never played in Europe and blah, blah, blah. Pele played every European team, every European country. So during World Cups, he'd be like, oh, I know these fools.
Yeah.
I play these guys.
Hey, aren't these the guys I cut up in a friendly when I still wasn't getting paid, but everybody else was?
You know, one of the first games I ever went to was David Beckham's first game in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Against Pele? Damn, let that dude rest, bro.
It was like Elvis, like, get up to work, you know?
You need just to shoot him with adrenaline.
Bro, that's not too far from the truth.
It really is. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. So, but David Beckham, in that first game, it was England against Colombia, and it was at Giant Stadium, and it was probably, it wasn't, I remember it wasn't sold out, but it was like easily like almost 60,000 people.
I remember the fanfare of it, like the traffic and everything.
Yeah. Right. So it was just a, it's just an example of like, even like Beckham got close to selling out Giant Stadium and people just wanted to essentially just see him. But Messi, there's not enough seats. That's what I like. Sure. Him even
talking about playing some of the games in the Dolphins.
They have to really, really consider that. Also, because why are you going to leave that money on the table?
No, dude. Jorge Mas is like on the phone with his friend Jeff Bezos, like, send me all the cash machines you have.
the little shooting, the guns that shoot up.
Bro, it's gonna look like Tony Montana is here, bro.
So, but look, I think it's a huge moment for MLS and American soccer to have.
Bleed this thing dry. Okay. Messi has what, 2 years left? You're gonna make him play a third, so you know it ushers us to the World Cup.
Right.
Make as much money from this as you possibly can.
Right. No, but having the Rose Bowl game. Not only was it clearly a success, but for the game to also be good.
And it was a great game.
Yeah, and Ricky...
LAFC fans are like, we don't agree with that.
it wasn't that great.
Yeah. The only shame is that there's players missing, whether it's Gold Cup or injury.
Right.
If this was the season opener, it would have been cool to see everyone at full strength, although Chicharito would have missed, because wasn't he not injured at the beginning of the season?
I think so, yeah. But look, it's for... I mean, could you argue that the team looked better, the LA Galaxy looked better without Chicharito? Like, maybe there's a little bit of... a little bit more freedom or maybe more responsibility put on some of the other players.
That's a great question.
But just for Ricky Puig to make that run, it wasn't a striker. It wasn't a forward. Like, it wasn't even another winger.
No, it was very Lampard-esque.
My man is
to the far post.
Ricky Puig is what? And you would say an eight, right?
I don't know. Or, I don't like to talk about guys' looks.
Let's respect.
No, man, we're very superficial here. Yeah.
We will break you down, dude.
I guess maybe he's not a 10.
He's more of a 10 than he is an 8 or a 6.
I think he would love to play as an 8, but LA Galaxy uses him as a combo 8-10.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, you know, look, I know he tracks back, but I wouldn't say he spiritedly defends.
No, I wouldn't say that either. No.
Am I tempering my words because the little LA Galaxy boys are going to jump on my ass again?
And I don't think it was LA Galaxy fans that were mad. It's Barcelona fans.
Oh.
This is who you pissed off. You pissed off Barcelona.
To the list.
Barcelona fans, it is. Will you slander any Barcelona player? That's it, bro.
Wow, did I pull a lever? Sorry, guys.
But no, I thought it was.
By the way, one person defended us, and they go, "Stop glazing them, dude."
And they were like, bro, like, yeah.
He's like, "Dude, you're the one defending a mid midfielder." And they're like, "You're defending mid podcast." And I'm like, "What a dumb internet back and forth this is."
But thank you.
Thanks for the engagement.
We need the Cooligan stands out there fighting the good fight, because some people out here are slandering us.
Or
we don't.
Just let the incels fight amongst themselves until Top G drops another video that they can spray web to.
Yo, Andrew Tate gonna be doing soccer content from jail, bro. It's gonna be great.
Hopefully. The jail part, not the soccer content.
Okay. So I want to talk about this. This is more of a serious issue, but the other the video came out after the Mexico Qatar match of a fight in the stands.
There were a couple fights in the stands.
There were a couple
in particular.
You don't want it to be as soon as you hear a couple, that's already too many, right?
Just too many. Well, I was at the Nations League match with Mexico when there were fights everywhere.
Right, right.
That was a rough one. There was one directly underneath our suite. Sweet.
he's like perched.
Sorry, under our suite.
My man is perched upon his ivory tower, watching them.
And there was a lot of people wearing white gloves and tuxedos going, la, 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 so I didn't have to hear it because I didn't want to be disturbed. No, but there was a fight directly underneath us. And I saw people looking, but I couldn't see what's happening because it was directly underneath us. And then someone who was on set, who had a clear view of it, showed me. It was horrific. Some guy threw somebody down like 6 rows.
Whoa.
It was insane. I mean, I'm like, why are you this upset?
It's nothing new to be at a sporting event and see people fight, even people who are fans of the same team.
Well, this is what it was. It seemed like it was a lot of U.S. and Mexico fans fighting each other, because as a lot of the Europeans who were around us, like, wait, everyone's just mixed together? And I'm like, yeah, usually it's fine. And as I say that, like, a bag of tea is thrown past my face. But it was a lot of Mexico fans fighting Mexico fans.
Yeah,
and I think it's because of how rough of a loss that was against the U.S. that it caused a lot of, like, you know.
It's just there has to be something. There seems to be a lot. And obviously the issue that we're talking about is that there was a fight and obviously a big scuffle. But then someone got stabbed. Someone stabbed a person.
Not like in the arm. This dude took it in the center of the chest.
Yeah, it was not.
It was horrific.
It was really, really bad. And I mean, like, we're obviously not going to show the video or anything.
Do we know how this person is doing?
I don't know.
I mean, he was just standing up in the video. Just like blood.
When the adrenaline runs out, you've been stabbed in the chest.
I'm hoping. I haven't heard anything negative, but I
know they arrested or they've at least identified the stabber.
Yeah. So look, we don't need to, we don't need to tell people, yo, don't be stabbing people at games, because that's fairly obvious. But
maybe we do. Oh, my God. He's critically injured.
Okay.
Jeez.
I hope he's okay and makes a full recovery. But
police are looking for a person of interest.
Okay. It was absolutely awful to see. The simple fact that something like this could happen at a sporting event, Even in the United States, you would think that there is a lot of security. They do bag checks. They do, you have to go through metal detectors to get into any of these arenas. And for something like this to happen is very, very concerning. It's definitely concerning to me. I mean, look, I was at a game recently, and I brought my son. He was like 2.5 months old at the time at Yankee Stadium. And a fight broke out in the stadium. And it's like, even if I didn't have a kid there, I would still be like, yo, this is bad, but then it adds a huge layer of concern because I'm like
your sweet baby boy,
my sweet baby boy, yeah. and now I have to make sure that you know I'm like scurrying away.
Thank God I wasn't there. You'd have to worry about your two sweet baby boys.
Yeah, and I can't carry Alexis.
I mean, you're gonna move the kid out of the way, bro. I need to be carried out of here.
But it's stuff like that where you know, even in that thing, you see little kids around, and obviously you have to witness something like that, and in the Mexico Qatar one. You see little kids around, and it's obviously very scary, and it's clearly very dangerous, and there can't be any tolerance. I mean, obviously appears to be a very difficult situation with Mexico fans. You know, like I saw after watching the video, and you see the comments, and there's a lot of Mexico fans in Mexico that are like, I would never go to a game in the U.S. because it's like, too crazy, which is like, whatever. I mean,
also an easy thing to say.
Yeah, yeah. But the main thing is just like, it's like the issue with the grito. There just seems to be a lot of like defiance from the Mexico fans, and a lot of like, they're just unhappy with the team. And,
yeah,
and
a lot of this comes because of their frustration.
Yeah. And then within the fan base, they get mad at each other. And then now they start attacking each other because some people don't care about el grito and they want to say it. And some people are like who are trying to police it and saying like, yo, stop doing that. And they get mad at them or whatever. And then it's like, and then there's also beers and people are drunk or whatever. But this has to be the worst that it gets. This is just so awful to see. To wait, yeah, even if it was just simply a fight where people are getting injured, but for someone to get actually stabbed at a game.
And like the article said that he got stabbed in the collarbone.
Yes.
And it's a critical injury, which the video, if you see it, it shows him pretty aware and standing up and pretty normal. But again, that's adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah. It's horrifying. It's
horrific.
How much of this, though, is on CONCACAF? I feel like at a certain point, like CONCACAF has to acknowledge, okay, this is how the fans of lots of teams, right? Not just Mexico, of lots of teams behave, you know, when they're not doing well. We need to actually do more to proactively prevent stuff like this from happening.
I also think I get that like the fans are chanting something homophobic. Start to ban the fans.
Yeah,
I agree with that completely. A fan stabbing someone also deserves some type of ban.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean,
I'm sorry that it's one fan that's going to ruin it for a lot, but no, man, you bring a shank to the game and insert it in someone's shoulder.
You know, some people.
You now are not allowed to have fans at the game.
Yeah, someone said that the punishment should be to take away the World Cup for Mexico, and that is a very big punishment. But it's like this pressure.
Gianni Infantino's like, I can't hear you over the cash machine, bro.
Man, it's holding.
I'm so sorry.
A Floyd Mayweather stat to his ear. But it's like this pressure cooker. That CONCACAF won't turn the heat off of. Like, there has to be punishment.
What would be the punishment?
It's banning fans at matches, and if not...
The problem with that is then stadiums won't want to carry the game, because if those fans aren't allowed to go, you're not going to get sellouts, you're not going to sell concessions.
But those stadiums also don't want stabbings happening inside their stadium.
No, I get that, but the stadium just won't take the game if it's Mexico versus Qatar.
Well, then and
Mexican fans aren't allowed to go, just Qatari
then
fans.
Maybe the stadiums get a larger cut of the tickets sold for that event. There has to be, somebody has to take some sort of loss. And that, look, it hurts the fans, it hurts CONCACAF, it hurts FIFA, but somebody has to make that decision of like, we're going to lose money so that we fix this problem. And somebody has to be brave enough to kind of make that decision. And it's difficult to give up money. And that's probably why nothing's really getting
done. It's why nothing's happening, especially when you're seeing things like the Canadian Federation is talking about filing for bankruptcy and, you know, the U.S. Federation not saying they're out of money or in any way, shape or form, but they're not as rich as they were before, you know, or at least don't have as many funds in the bank. These things are going to continue to happen in a place where money is earned, especially a federation or like the Mexican Federation where their teams do well in the stands.
Yeah, did you hear
the gate?
The Mexican Federation, they had two matches scheduled in Europe or Saudi Arabia. Like, they were going to have two friendlies with international opponents, and they were going to play in those countries, and they canceled them. Because of the time zones. They said that it would affect them financially because the games would be on way too late or like, you know, in the middle of the night. So they're going to just play them in the U.S. And that seems to be the thing where, like, they don't want to play games against different opponents that might give them a different look and might help the team improve in a certain way. And they're like, oh, no, let's just go to the U.S. because we're going to make money there. And that's...
I mean, I also kind of get that decision.
I get that too, but it just highlights the focus is not necessarily on the quality of the sporting product. It is money first, and then we'll see how the players do.
Yeah, I mean, look, you saw what happened in one of the Mexican League matches, Querétaro versus Atlas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a horrific thing happened in the stands, and, you know, all official reports is nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
Just a couple of fights broke out, and we know completely
it
different.
It was much worse than that, yeah. So, look, not a great situation, and I hope something gets done to move in a more positive direction, but I don't see how you progress in this without simply setting some sort of line, some kind of boundary, and saying, like, this is not going to be tolerated. Therefore, we are going to...
You have to find a way to hurt the Federation's pockets.
There's no other way because all we get now are the Mexican national team videos of players begging fans to stop saying screaming the chant and that's it. And they're not, the more you ask them to stop, they're not gonna because they're doing out of spite.
But not just spite, they know they can impact the team. We're playing so badly, we're losing so badly that if we yell this, at least they'll cancel the game.
Yeah,
you've kind of given them some power.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. All right.
I think especially it's important, too, because we've got Leagues Cup coming up.
It is quite.
What a transition.
Well, I don't know how much time we have, but I wanted to get to one other thing before that. But
well, let's talk about Leagues Cup. because we're going to watch it. We're going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's a great competition. But I'm not just going to watch it just stand there. All tense and worried. I'm going to relax. I'm going to chill. And you know how I chill, Christian?
How do you chill, Alexis?
Oh, I'll tell you. Two ways. One, I just sit and relax. And two, I keep ice cold Coors Light in my hand.
That's right. And there's going to be a lot of matches for the Leagues Cup in 2023. This summer, there are going to be 77 games. There'll be 47 teams from three different countries. And obviously, the Messi show will be going on the road. Lionel Messi will be playing his first game in Leagues Cup with Inter Miami against Cruz Azul on July 21st. That's a big one.
That's okay? Going to be a huge. It's going to be huge for Cruz Azul. It's going to be huge for everyone involved. It's going to be huge for us.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to be tuning in and obviously watching what the nice cold course like because that is always the move. And it's hot, bro.
It is hot. But you know what? The can, it lets you know it's nice and cold. You know, a car doesn't tell you it's hot. You open the door, you're sitting, and you're like, oh, God.
How dare you? You know?
Why was this outside? If there's only a way to bring it inside. But the can of Coors Light, it says, wait, before you pop this open, I want you to know. I want you to be so chill that I want you to not even question whether the contents inside are hot or cold because we got these cute little blue mountains.
They're adorable.
Oh, my God. And they say, hello. Your beer's cold.
Okay. You take a sip. You rest it against your forehead. It is absolute perfect this summer. So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light, official beer of Leagues Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And also, check our Instagram because there's a contest where you could go to the Leagues Cup final as well.
Ooh. Check it out. Check out the Coors Light post. Got a big silver bullet right on the post.
That's right. At Soccer Cooligans. Just check that out on Instagram if you would like.
Sign up for a chance.
Yeah,
it'll be
all
great.
Expense paid trip to the Leagues Cup final. All right.
Come on. You want to go to Leagues Cup final? Not bad. A pocket, baby.
Let's go. All right. Let's get to our conversation with Tom Penn. Again, he is the CEO of the new San Diego franchise that will be starting in 2025 in Major League Soccer. Nice little business conversation. Yeah, you know?
That's right.
We might have helped him with the marketing for the new team.
The marketing,
of course. I also gave him a promotion.
Okay. All right. This is where you come to this show for your soccer financial advice.
This is a business show, dude.
Okay.
I mean, Franklin Leonard and Tom Penn in back-to-back weeks, bro. We're stepping up our game, baby.
Jim Cramer's coming next, bro.
We just need Zuck on the show. How can we help with threads?
All right, here's our conversation with San Diego CEO Tom Penn.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
What an honor to have this next guest.
Very much so.
We should have worn suits and brought a briefcase.
I feel deeply underdressed.
I feel like I should be on, like, you know, a Shark Tank right now, bro, bringing an executive in here. I want to start pitching ideas.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like my net worth is not where it needs to be
right?
to do
All
this
All I
interview.
Know is to talk about NFTs, bro. This isn't good. I got no money, you know? But this gentleman, heralded in both fields, really, kind of did what we do a little bit, and also has a background that allows him to be smart, but also purchase.
He's a comedian and then pivoted into soccer?
Yes.
Wow,
no,
cool.
He was a TV analyst, and he was brought in to talk a lot about sort of what goes on behind the scenes for executives on ESPN, but now he is also the owner of the newest MLS franchise. Ladies and gentlemen, co-owner of your San Diego MLS franchise, Tom Penn, everybody!
Tom, what's up, man?
Man, I didn't know that wearing a collared golf shirt was going to be so disruptive. Sorry.
It's just the caliber of people we have on the show. They're usually people in, like, you know, they just stepped out of a sauna or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The athletes, it's a little bit different. But
we don't get many people calling us from their villas, dude. This is beautiful.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, the recent news, we saw the announcement of San Diego being awarded the next MLS expansion franchise. It's exciting news, and we know, you know, it's feeling like, You just did this a couple years ago,
yeah,
right, with LAFC. So
doing
it's like,
it again, huh? Running it back.
we're seeing the sequel of your job. But let's just kind of start there with this announcement. What's this process like right now? What's it look like in the next few years of your maybe day to day work and just how you're feeling and you know doing this again.
Yeah, super pumped up. Thanks. Pleasure to be on your guys' show. Is that what we call this? Is this-
yeah.
Yeah, I think
some
so.
Would. Some- My yeah. mother wouldn't.
But and I appreciate the promotion to owner that you gave me. I am actually we
You're
have
just some- a CEO.
CEO.
I thought Lexus knew something.
Buddy,
I didn't.
I have a picture of a lot of people in front of me, and I'm he's got to be one of these guys.
Yeah, I'll take it. Whatever. Let's go with it. No. Look, it's awesome. San Diego is the number one spot on the planet to add a soccer team, right? If you think about it, for a variety of reasons, it's the number one soccer market in the country. And then by a few measures, I mean, produces most players on the national team, just a hotbed of talent, and then over-indexes on interest when it's on TV. Like when the U.S. national team's on, San Diego's always like right at the top in terms of overall interest. Then you layer in the Mexican national team, that's a whole nother element right down here in this neighborhood. So you've just got huge interest in football. And then the Padres are the only, you know, big five major league team. So it's 3.3 million people and a chance to do an expansion team in a market that just loves the sport, needs another alternative. So for me, it was a no-brainer to look down the Interstate 5 from LA to San Diego and come down here. And frankly, I found the only place with better weather than LA. It's here.
That's certainly so true.
No, we've done stand up in San Diego,
yeah.
And it's just like I performed at the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Same.
And it's just so fun. It's like literally one of the more fun places that I think. It's not like in undiscovered. It's San Diego. I mean, yeah, people know about it. But I, even in the entertainment scene, the comedy scene there is pretty dope as well. But when it comes to it's, I like that you mentioned the, you know, it, like it's one of the markets where people watch it the most, for watch soccer the most. And it's interesting. Maybe it's just my Northeastern New York elite bias. I'm like, oh, it just doesn't. You don't initially think of San Diego as like a hotbed of American soccer, but maybe, you know, this is our opportunity to learn about that.
If you look at player development and the players produced from here, men and women, they over-index amount of these kids come up through the system here, and it makes sense. There's a lot of green grass and a lot of sunshine, and you can play year-round, and it's just become the culture of this place is to produce players. And our whole project is all about player development and taking that to the next level for the national team. You know, we want to produce the best American players we can using the Right to Dream way, which we could, you know, those are my partners on this, and the lead owners on this own Right to Dream. And they're the best, among the best on the planet at developing young talent. So that's what's cool about this project. I mean, we're going to do a really cool execution of an MLS team for San Diego, by San Diego, you know, the modern way in MLS, which will be awesome. And we're going to produce the best players in the country, which is really cool.
You a lot, and this is what's really important. And you as a CEO, I think, have been pushing this message as well, is how strong of a link to the community you want this team to have and have the feeling of the community. And just from having performed in San Diego, my feeling of the community is that everyone is on recess. It's just a very relaxed city. There doesn't seem like anyone takes anything serious. It's just a chill. Hey, buddy, relax. We don't use our car horns down here. What are you going to do, make every seat a lawn chair in the stadium? How are you going to get this across?
You know, you're kind of right. What I learned about this market isn't that they're on recess, but these people know how good they got it.
They do.
And they're grateful for it. Like, there's a sense of gratitude that we've heard from the community. Like, you go around New York, Philly, wherever, you know, Boston, nobody's like, oh, I'm so grateful to live here. It's like, no, we're grinding through it. We're going to get through it and do our stuff. Here, it's like there's a real appreciation for how great life is. And then they're still getting stuff done. There's like there's an innovative edge to San Diego that is really unusual. So because of bioscience and all the bio-life stuff down here, this community produces the most patents per capita in the country. All kinds of patents, and then military innovation's been going on forever. The Navy SEALs are here, Cop Gun is here. Like, the best of the best in the military comes through and out of San Diego. So there's a innovative cutting edge that's like mashed up with this, like, yeah, let's go surf, let's go skate, let's go create something cool. All that is put together, and it's the number one micro brewing, craft brewing enterprise down here, which is sort of shocking.
Part of relaxation.
Well, yeah. And that's, and also brewing and micro brewing is a huge part of MLS culture. I don't know how much you've met a lot of supporters, but man, it is part of the identity.
I'll give you a quick insight as to how East Coast I am and how little I know about the West Coast. I stayed in a hotel with my wife right on the water in Pacific Beach, or PB as they call it, because they can't say the whole name because it takes too long. They're too relaxed. And it's beautiful. The hotel has three numbers is the name. Anyway, it's nighttime. I see a bunch of people changing into what looks like the gear you would wear to, like, rob the biggest diamond from, like, you know what I mean?
Just,
and I say, I closed the windows. I told my wife, like, yo, we're about to get raided, bro. We're about to, blah, blah. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? And I look out the window. And she goes, oh, they're going to go night surfing. These are guys changing into surfing gear. I thought people were going to get grappling hooks and come into our hotel.
I love when Alexis is afraid, he starts calling his wife bro. That's
Everybody gets bro'd. We're about to get invaded, dude. I do want to ask, are there going to be burritos with French fries in the stadium?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's okay.
Everyone can relax now.
Okay, go, yeah, I was very, very concerned.
That is necessary if you're going to be in San Diego.
Well, also, I mean, and I know it might be, it's a difficult topic, but obviously, you know, we have...
it's a big market, there's other teams
big
there.
Market, there's other teams and stuff like that. But, you know, we've received a lot of love and a lot of support from San Diego loyal fans.
Also Cholos.
Yeah. Cholos and stuff like that. So, and what aspect, or I don't know how much you can necessarily share on I don't know if it's about working with the team or acknowledging just obviously the development of the growth of the soccer community there. But what is how much of a factor is it to, I don't know, work or collaborate with San Diego Loyal in some way?
You know, huge props to the Loyal for what they've done. They launched a club and it ended up, then COVID hit. And so they launched it through COVID, which is like nearly impossible. And they've done such a good job of engaging the community and of doing what you're supposed to do. And so I've had huge respect for them, huge respect for the Wave, the San Diego Wave. Yeah, the women's huge team has come in and just blown the doors off of NWSL, set all kinds of attendance records, and continue to draw and create a cool professional environment there. And that's in the same stadium where we're going to be. So when you put all those factors together, it's more of an indication for the appetite of football in San Diego. Then you throw in the Cholos right across the border, and we've got this baked in opportunity to have a really cool kind of rivalry collaboration. And you know, with MLS, we're partnering with Liga MX on the League's Cup. So we're right in the mixer of where we want to take soccer in North America. So we just want to come slot into this community and do our part as the premium offering in the men's game and see how it all sequences and shakes together. But there's all sorts of opportunity for cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited about the, obviously, you know, the rivalry of simply a U.S. Open Cup match, let's say, of you know,
it's huge.
Whatever Loyal versus whatever the San Diego team.
Derbies are good for the sport.
Yeah, yeah. It's and it kind of goes into my next question, because we've seen a few comments. I want to get your thoughts, maybe on Open Cup a little bit, because I've seen comments from MLS executives about kind of saying like the competition doesn't meet the sort of standard that MLS teams should try to like strive for and things like that. What are your thoughts on Open Cup and that kind of competition just continuing to exist?
It's been a huge challenge as MLS is evolving. League's Cup comes on. We have more international competition, more high-level competition. I mean, U.S. Open Cup's got to up their game. It's got to become really relevant. I mean, I love the idea of an open competition that gives the lower division clubs the opportunity to compete and advance and win a trophy. At the MLS level, it's just a real challenge because those matches slot in midweek. You don't get any real warning on who the opponent's going to be. You don't know whether it's home or away. It's a coin flip. I mean, it's all sorts of randomness that becomes really difficult to manage when you're operating a professional club with a full-on schedule and everything else. And then it's hard to get your audience to care if it's not sort of viewed as a major professional thing. So I think there's work to do there, and the competition now is fierce and the landscape is more complicated with the interjection of these other competitions. Because I tell you this, that League's Cup is going to be cool. When you're talking to all the Liga MX teams against all the MLS clubs with real stuff on the line, that's going to be fun to watch.
Okay. Yeah.
Tom, you used to be an agent, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're the CEO of the newest franchise, a guy by the name of Lionel Messi. You might have heard of him. He's coming into the league.
Imagine he didn't.
Imagine he's like, who's that guy?
Wait, hold on. Let me look it
up.
Yeah,
he's like, a guy this short plays a sport? No, I think obviously you know who he is. I'm just adding a little filler there. But you used to be an agent. So you have already have the idea of like getting players into teams. So your brain must work in that way as well. Do you feel the pressure seeing a Lionel Messi come into this league and the buzz that's created? Do you feel the pressure to try to find a big star for San Diego FC, if that's the full team name?
No, we felt it for LA. We knew that at LAFC we needed to have a signature player and a star because of the nature of that market and how cluttered and crowded it is, and just to register. And that's why we looked for Carlos Vela as sort of a signature guy that we could hang our hat on. In San Diego, I don't feel the pressure to do that because I feel like we have a different approach to this with our affiliation with Right to Dream. We really, our goal is to be the Ajax of North America, to be this club that's just so great at player development and wins with youth. So that doesn't necessarily jive with bringing, you know, I won't say the next Messi because there's not another one of those, but that doesn't necessarily jive with bringing this Zlatan type name and talent, you know, to build around. We want to build from the ground up with youth and this clear identity of just, holy shit, that another 19-year-old came along and is so amazing, and we, you know, win with that 19, 20, 21-year-old, and then they move on. That's eventually. In the short term, yeah, we need to have a more blended team that can be competitive right out of the chute, and we may very well have a really good Mexican talent as part of the, you know, array of designated players or signature players, if you will. But I don't feel the pressure to go get Neymar, for example, because it seems like more are coming. And that would fit for other clubs, maybe. But yeah, if Neymar wants to come, we'll talk to him.
Yeah, you're not going to really
see. So what I hear you saying is you want to build the next Messi, not go buy the next Messi.
Oh, very nice.
Huh? Free marketing. There you go, a little dime. Boom.
Okay, that'll be like that's the caption for the San Diego versus Inter Miami match coming up. So, yeah, go for it. We got some questions from fans from our from Gully Club, which is basically our Patreon members, our most dedicated fans, and Stephanie, who I believe is an LAFC fan, just asked the question: how does it feel to know that the 3252 is going to boo you whenever we see you? How do you feel?
They will never do that. They love me. I love them. That was a match made in Hollywood. No, I do love the 3252, man. That was the biggest challenge, trying to figure out how to embrace the LA audience and let them figure out how to express what they became. And watching that happen was just like awesome. I'm so like, there's a soft spot in my heart for the 3252. But look, we're doing the same down here now. We're in the, I wouldn't say in the trenches, we're at the beginning stages of really working on all these relationships with the founders of what's going to become San Diego's version of that. I have no idea what they're going to name themselves. I have no idea how that's all going to come together. But I do feel the intention down here to do that. And it's going to be that. That's the wild card in all this that creates the most freaking fun.
Yeah, the other thing I want to ask.
You should do 3253. Just really mess with that. You know? Psychology.
This is, you know what? This is a San Diego FC meeting.
This is a marketing meeting for you. This is a tax write-off for you,
Tom. We've accomplished so much today. The other thing I want to ask is about that the you know, part of the ownership group is working with I hope I'm saying it correctly. Sikwan National Tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sikwan.
Sikwan. Okay.
Yeah,
and it's I'm curious about the work involved with that, because I went to I went to Arizona, and I went to a lot of the different reservations, and I really got to learn a lot, it was like a shame that I didn't like learn more about the history in school and stuff like that. And it was a really great to be kind of immersed in that history and culture. As far as building a soccer team, and I know that they're involved in a lot of things in San Diego, but what for you, what's it been like working with them?
Amazing. So it's the Sikwan Tribe, and they're actually the co-owners of this thing. So it's a joint venture with Mr. Mohammed Mansour, who owns Right to Dream, and with the Sikwan Native American family, the tribe. And so they're a fascinating group of people that have been given this opportunity to establish an entertainment business and have a casino as their primary source of revenue. And they started with a bingo hall. They were the best at bingo back in the day, like 40 plus years ago.
Amazing.
And
then
they, and they became, and a number of other tribes in this region, there are quite a few tribes with gambling or gaming licenses, but Sequan was just the best at it. And then in the mid-20-teens, they ended up deciding to do like a $300 million expansion, and they built like a little mini Vegas resort. Awesome pools, great entertainment, and they really more than doubled down on the concept. And then from all of that, they've just continued to grow and diversify their holdings. They own a really cool hotel downtown called the U.S. Grant Hotel. They own other things, and they wanted to diversify, and instead of sponsoring sports teams, they wanted to co-own. So they'll be the first Native American family sitting at the board table in one of the big five leagues. It's awesome.
That's going to be incredible. And again, a nod to you guys for continuing to be a part of the community, not just the immediate community, but some of the original communities there. It's
absolutely they are awesome. The community. I mean, they're the original inhabitants of the land. They can trace back 12,000 years they've been on the land. So it doesn't get any more local than that.
Incredible.
I do want to ask one last question. This is from David Meyer, who's another fan of ours. Obviously, he mentions how much MLS has grown over the last 10 to 15 years. You're one of the newer teams. You've been a part of one of the newer teams. You come in, newer teams tend to do it a little differently. The question kind of references, what do you think some of these newer teams have learned from some of the older ones? And sort of talk a little bit about that divide between some of the newer ones that are a little bit more flashy and some of the older teams that are starting to catch up.
Well, commercially, what happens with the newer ones is you're able to just kind of reinvent what new stadiums. There's always like sort of new stadiums, new ventures, new market. So you can really push all of that innovation for the league. What you learn is supporter culture and history. And like, I looked so hard at the Timbers Army and at what they do in Seattle and so on. In my era, we really had to try to nail the execution of our supporter culture, and there was nowhere to look but within the league at who was doing it best. And my experience in Portland was I was the enlightened American fan when I went to a Portland Timbers game with my kids, and they looked up at me and they go, "Dad, this is awesome." And I was like, "This is awesome." When I saw the Timbers Army just roaring in the North End, I'm like, "Holy shit, I didn't know we could do that." So we wanted to replicate that in LA. That's what we learned from them and listened as to how they do that. So, and since then, what you've seen is in Austin and in St. Louis and in Nashville, you know, with expansion comes fresh energy and fresh expression. And that's what's been really driving the league. So we want to do our part and continue to do that.
All right. I hope the owners that have been around, the legacy owners, are open to some of the ideas. You know, add a couple DPs, maybe raise a salary cap. Let's have a little fun.
The next meeting, just bring some Werther's Originals for some of the old curmudgeons, you know, who don't want to pay attention to the new ideas.
Okay.
Well, maybe we could bring you guys in as like a marketing consultant. You've helped me.
You are filled with amazing ideas, Tom.
You got the right idea. Okay, all right. We're working together. We're trying to all improve American soccer in our own way.
You have a collared shirt required for the board meeting.
Mike, I will drill a collar onto this shirt. You believe me. We'll find a way.
Tom Penn, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck again with the expansion project. We're excited. You know, it's what, 2024?
25.
When? 25.
We got real quick. How many years before the Knicks win a championship? You don't have to answer. You just answered. Damn, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Tom, thank you so much. And best of luck with everything out in San Diego, man. We really appreciate you taking the time.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Another incredible interview here.
Shout
on
out
the Cooligans Business Podcast.
That's right.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Because we should get Poppy saying like it's the Cooligans Business Podcast. Yeah. But no, shout out to Tom.
The sounds of a briefcase unlatching.
Okay, this guy means business.
Damn, I'm sold.
Well, you got briefs in that briefcase? Yeah.
You were so proud of yourself there.
So, thank you, Tom Penn, for joining us. Awesome conversation. Thank you again for joining us.
If you enjoyed that, hit the subscribe button.
That's the move, okay? Because you are you're literally taking food off my baby's table.
Sweet baby Mateo and sweet baby Alexis, who Christian has vowed to protect forever. They need your as if I'm not one of them. Need your you hit the subscribe button, or else you're literally ripping food out of that baby's mouth.
Correct. So look, we're not here to make you feel bad.
No.
But if you feel bad, then maybe that says you might be doing something a little bit wrong.
I don't feel bad because I'm not guilty like you. Okay. You know.
All right. So hit that subscribe button, subscribe to the podcast, and tell a friend. All right, everybody.
And look, if you don't want to subscribe, that's fine. Just hit the subscribe button. That's a nice alternative.
Okay. I mean, we give you options here.
Yeah. Don't make me explain it to you, boomer.
What do you think? We're rigid people?
No.
No, we're all about it.
There's A, B, and C.
So thank you so much again for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode. We're excited to keep things moving.
Are you going to talk like that? We're back on Monday. We're so excited. Keep it moving.
A lot to look forward to. Obviously, MLS All-Stars coming up. So is the Women's World Cup. So we got a bunch of fun stuff planned. So stay tuned.
Got some fun guests. Not going to tell you who they are over the next few weeks. You're going to want to look out.
It's none of your business who they are, okay? You got to make sure you hit the subscribe button and make sure you see.
Maybe you would know had you hit the subscribe button. Hey, thought of that?
Bro, wow.
I know, right? So maybe it's your fault.
A two viewer and listener. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you in a few days. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.